welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dettis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat unoriginal conversations about, well, no. See, I'm trying to scroll things.
You're going off script here.
It's that third mouse button that's screwing me up.
Really?
Yes.
It's we been are the my show lifesaver for so long.
That brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking globally with a local perspective. Sure, whatever. And enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and Jeff Goldblum, and simpler living.
Seriously.
And today, we are finishing up our adventure series. I don't know if we're finishing up. Or even if we've had an adventure series.
You know, we've had an adventure series going for about 5 years now.
Well, I just noticed, like, we had the Grilled by Bite people in.
Oh, yeah.
And then Adele was in talking about her adventures.
That's boat month.
Yeah, we've got adventure month going on.
Yeah.
Because today we have Adam Stewart and Kevin. I don't think I got your last name.
That's right.
I don't have one.
All okay. Right. Yeah.
Kevin, no last name. talking about their adventures on bikes.
It's good to have you both in. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Well, how are you?
Good, good, good. So, Adam, Kevin, pleasure. Thank you. We appreciate you being here.
Of course.
We, of course, are drinking beers from none other than, well, first of all, from Mazama Brewing. Except for you, Mr. Flores, you have...
I'm not.
What do you have?
I've got another Portland ginger brew.
That's right, because you asked for something not as sweet and... Oh.
Hey, this isn't a twist.
Oh, yeah. How are your fingers doing?
It's fine. The lid just sort of kept spinning around. Mm.
Do you need a bottle opener?
No,
you got one?
I got one.
Okay, you come prepared. All right, we are drinking Mazama Brewing, the Mosaic Eruption India Pale Ale. And I think it's Mazama. Is it Mazama? Mazama?
Mazama?
I feel like tomato, tomato.
Seriously,
tomato,
yeah.
Tomato,
you say that's potato, right. I say mountain climber.
Great.
Where are they from? I feel like I should know this already. I'm looking at the
They're
can.
They're not from Mazama Village?
They might be. From Crater Lake?
Like right outside of Crater Lake.
I mean, there's a volcano on the thing. I honestly cannot read. Oh, Corvallis. Okay.
Well, that's deceiving.
That's nowhere near Crater Lake. Oh, and we have these beverages courtesy of our beverage sponsor, the Beer Mongers, who are getting their mention early today.
Really?
Yeah.
We're on point today.
Yeah. You know why?
Why is that?
Because it's the first thing I thought of to say.
Oh.
Also, Halloween is coming up this week. And if anybody's going to dress up and do something, and they don't have a party to go to yet, the Beer Mongers is having a costume party at the beer shop.
Oh, yeah?
So, yes. People should go, you know, even if you're on your way to another party. Because you know what? Anywhere you go, any party you go to, what's always there?
There's a seat
drunk
for you.
Idiots.
There's always a seat for you at the Beer Mongers, no matter which party you're going to. I was going to say there's always beer.
Sorry, that was my go-to.
That's all good.
I realized halfway through that slogan, it's not going to make sense at all.
So there's always beer at the Beer Mongers, and there's always beer at a party. So if you're on your way in costume, just stop by. It's Halloween. Go to the Beer Mongers. So that's our ask this week.
Go
get some beer and tell them that the Sprocket Podcast sent you, because we like the beer that they have. Actually, I don't know if I like this one, but I think I will. How is it treating both of you?
I think it's pretty great.
I like the way it tastes. Yeah.
Excellent. These are good qualities. You like the way it inebriates you?
Oh, yes.
I'm not there yet, but I'll get there.
We'll find out. Excellent. Aaron, guess what I did this weekend?
Well, I kind of already know.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm glad to see that you're here to tell about it.
Yeah. I drove a car.
You drove a car.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Damn,
but you drove a car far.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, comparatively, I guess.
When I drive, I go all out. So there's this place down in the opposite corner of Oregon. So if no one's familiar with Oregon, it looks a little bit like a manila folder with a tab up in the upper left-hand corner.
That's a really great way of describing it.
Portland is right there, kind of like where the manila folder tab meets the rest of the folder. And then the place I went to is like down on the bottom of the opposite corner of the manila folder.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, so all the people live in one corner where Portland is.
Yes.
And all the cool, pretty stuff is in the other corner. So we decided to drive there.
That's not a coincidence either.
No. And I'm not a huge fan. Like, I still don't own a car. I haven't owned a car for 7 years now. I'm trying to remember. Okay, so I sold it in 2010, and I stopped driving it about 2007 for the most part.
All right.
So, ish. But one of the great things about not owning a car is that you don't have to spend money on a car every week. And then you can take some of that, and if you need a car, you can rent one. So
right.
I used a peer-to-peer car sharing service, and I will not say which one. because I think what I did violates the terms of service.
Oh.
The person renting me the car, I think, was fine with this. Okay. And I brought it back safe and sound.
The person renting you the car knew that you were taking it out this far?
Oh, they knew I was taking it a long ways. Okay. Yeah, definitely. They took an odometer reading before I left.
Wow,
and I came
okay.
back 825 yeah. miles later. So, one of the things I noticed is that when you drive, you can carry so much more than when you bicycle tour. Adele
that
and I
is,
were throwing like
true.
Blanket upon blanket into this car and driving it out into Eastern Oregon. And what we got there, and it was like 32 degrees in Burns. Burns is like the last civilized country before
right.
you leave and enter the wilderness. And so we got there, and it was like, I think 28 degrees was the temperature when we arrived. And so
yeah.
Very cold.
Yeah. Wow.
But it turns out if you sleep under a ton of blankets, you feel okay. So we made like a blanket cave or nest or whatever.
Did you guys sleep in tents then?
Yes.
Okay.
We did, yeah. And we actually got a new one, but we decided if we showed up at 11:30 at night in a town full of cowboys, population 500 or something,
yes.
that we probably shouldn't try and set up a new tent. We should probably set up the old one that we had that was broken down.
Oh, I see.
Where
yes.
were you doing the tent setting up? Like, is it in the middle of town?
I mean, Burns is a small town, so it was actually kind of, it was on the outskirts. It was right next to the, I can't remember now. There's a pretty little river that runs right along the edge of town. Anyways,
River Burns, yeah.
Yes, exactly. A river burns through it. So that was where we were, and we set up in this little private RV park. And, yeah, you just show up and set up your tent on the lawn. And we were the only people with a tent that night because it was 28 degrees. So it was nice, though, because, you know, we could see the whole way. We had thought about going into the National Forest and finding a campground there. But the trick is, never been there before, not quite sure which part of the National Forest it would be in. Unpaved roads, no streetlights. And all of these things after driving 5 hours in a truck in the dark are things I didn't want to attempt.
Sure.
So we ended up going to Burns instead. But my next plan, like after this, is to drive down there and park somewhere and then ride the bike all the way around Steens Mountain, which would be like a 3 to 5 day ride, depending on how intense you wanted it to be.
Okay.
So anyways, really pretty, really remote. Steens Mountain is 9,700 feet, something like that. You can drive almost all the way to the top.
That ain't nothing.
But there's already already snow up there.
Okay.
And it's unpaved the whole way. So
oh, nice.
Gravel road, which
yeah.
that's why this is a violation of terms for this company that arranged the rental, which I won't name.
You are not supposed to be on gravel roads?
You're not supposed to be on gravel roads. It's part of your
I'll
fine print. Yeah, exactly. So just know that. But yeah. But, you know, none the worse for wear. Have either Adam or Kevin, have either of you had experience driving a car or any vehicle on washboarded roads, like gravel roads that get really super bumpy?
Yeah. It's not fun.
It's not super fun. So if you get to like, depending on the washboard and how bad it is, like if you get to 25 miles an hour and your wheels are still driving you forward, at that point you lose control and you like skid.
Well, there's a full body massage.
There's
yes.
a point where if you go fast enough, it evens out again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you
just
have
like, to
keep cruise
on
across
going.
The top?
And then, you just kind of barely touch the tops. And the way it happens is math, and
okay.
then it's fine.
I don't do well with math.
Yeah, math sometimes screws you.
So are you, at that point, just basically hydroplaning on gravel?
Yes.
It's very
I mean,
much
I guess
like
it's
that.
Not
yeah.
hydroplaning because there's no water involved.
Don't try and turn or stop, and don't own the car that you're driving. But you already got that.
See, but that's the problem is that I was super worried because I don't own this car, and if I'm violating the terms of service of this like arrangement
right.
company, I don't want to have to explain why it's
you
20
lose your
miles
membership
from
and you have to like pay for the car.
Yeah. So, anyways, all that to say, we ended up at some very pretty places, but only after like hours of white knuckle driving. So, yeah.
I mean,
I could have brought some sandbags, I guess. That was one thing I thought about.
Well, you had all your stuff in there.
We did.
I don't think you needed sandbags, really.
We did. But
well,
if
you didn't pack any sand,
what good are the sandbags going to do?
You might need sand, I guess. You could level out the ground that your tent's going to be on with
true.
The sand.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's a lot of sand out there in Harney County. So, yeah.
Didn't you say it was like the least densely populated county?
I believe
in
so.
In the lower 48?
It's like it's got an average of one person per square mile or less.
Wow.
For like the entire county. So that's like Alaska numbers.
Yeah.
I think. And what was it? I think Armando, like last summer, summer before last, when I was in somewhere else in Oregon, the difference between like rural and frontier is how many people there are. And Frontier is when there's still like so few people that you can't even get cell service or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So, by the way, no cell phone zone.
Nice.
All of Steen's Mountain, basically.
That had to feel good, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Also, though, it was kind of like, you know, if we get lost out here, nobody's coming to save us.
Yep.
Yeah. I sent you the whole, like, if I die, here's my last will and testament.
It was a little
scatter
weird.
My ashes on Steen's Mountain.
It was a little, it was a little disquieting to get in the middle of my day.
I'm sorry. It was probably kind of dramatically worded. I apologize for that.
And then, like, having no idea that you guys were even planning on something like this.
Right, you know, right.
Just, oh, okay, I guess he's gone for
that's
a while.
Right. Maybe forever.
Possibly forever.
Yeah, but if you do it right and you plan well, you don't freeze, you have enough water and food, and then you come back. You also have to have enough gas. So that was kind of the double-edged sword was like...
Oh, was there a time where you were like, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it to the next piece of civilization for gasoline?
Yeah, every hour-long white-knuckled washboard road drive, for
right
sure. I was thinking that's why I kind of wish I could have gotten there by bike, because then I wouldn't have to deal with all the auto mechanic complications, you know, that sort
sure,
of thing.
Sure.
But it would take like five times as long or six times as long or more. And that is the thing. I was thinking about this as well. Like, you can take a bus to Burns, but, you know, basically to get to, certainly to get to Eastern Oregon and maybe even more, like, you really do need a private vehicle. Doesn't mean you have to own one. But there are some places that are worth going to that you can't get to unless you use a vehicle.
Right.
So this is that grand altruism that I think I try to, you know, like, I don't want to use one every day. I want to ride my bike around town. I don't want to own one. But I do want to go to pretty places. So, yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to go to pretty places.
Thank you. Thank you for validating me.
That's what I'm here for.
I'd be interested to hear how other people have struck that balance and
sure.
how they use their cars or how they use other people's cars. So anything from you this last week?
No, nothing whatsoever.
Easy enough.
The gray's been getting me down.
It's
man.
The slow season.
Yeah.
And it's the gray season. And
Yeah, I got to eat more vitamin D.
Okay, yeah. I hope you get more vitamin D.
I don't mean
D.
like food with vitamin D in it. I'm just going to like get
raw
vitamin D tablets, like put it in my cereal and eat it.
Crush it up and snort it.
anyway
doing
I
lines.
Can get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Lines of D.
Lines of sunshine.
That sounds great. Well, I wish you the best through this winter.
Thanks.
Thank you, by the way, for sharing the phone call to your mom. That was sweet.
Oh, yeah. We might have to edit some of that.
We certainly will.
Sure.
Yeah.
But.
You mean the part where you said that you were the last one to call her?
No, I think we should keep that part
in. Good.
Especially since we're talking about it now.
Excellent.
Four sons, I'm the last one to call.
So it goes.
And two of them are in Hawaii, so a later time zone even.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. That's
you remembered.
I remembered. It was one of those things. This is terrible. I don't know if you've ever done this. You know something is important, and so you want to give it your full attention. So then you put it off until like all these other things are done.
Oh.
But what ends up happening then is you just keep putting it off. And
then you forget what you're supposed
to
do.
Well, you either forget it, which is terrible. Or you give the other person the impression that that's not important because you've been putting it off all this time.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
You know. Anyways.
I called my grandma from Harney County, actually, in the morning before Adele woke up. I was
You just can't
around.
Let me have my moment, can
I'm sorry.
You?
No.
I was feeling bad here, and then I started to feel good, and then you tell me you called your grandmother. Look at what a great grandson you are.
No, not really.
Anyway.
You're a very good person, Mr. Lawrence.
I try my best, you know. It's the vitamin D. I'm just not getting enough of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you know what? I'm gonna bring you a gift next week. You're gonna get so much vitamin D. Take a big old bottle of pills.
Big old, great.
I swear.
I'll eat one on the air.
And a rock that I brought you from the top of the mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, from the summit. Right
I can
next
dig
to the,
on that.
Right next to the cell phone tower.
All right. Right next to the cell phone.
I was worried about hanging
nice
out.
Nice and irradiated for you.
Seriously, yeah, but. So anyway, that's our week. So, Adam and Kevin,
yes,
how were your weeks?
My Adam,
my week was very good.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
Rode my bike, worked. It's productive.
That's what you want to do.
Exactly.
Nice. So we brought you in here to talk about overnight rides, but have you had a more recent adventure that was not overnight?
No.
Okay.
That was the last one.
So tell me about overnight rides.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're not a lot of fun. that's very misleading, what Adam said there.
They're a lot of fun. They can hurt.
Yeah.
They can. Everyone on the ride can hate me for putting it together.
Yeah. How many people go on this ride?
So to be clear, you're talking about riding through the night. Yeah.
Yeah. So starting at midnight.
Yeah, midnight. We didn't start before the night and then ride through the night.
Right. Okay.
We started right in the middle of the night when people should be going to sleep.
Most logical people, yes. Yeah. Then it was mostly gravel. You know, from Portland, we made our way out to Scappoose.
Nice.
Then to Vernonia, then back to Banks, and then back into Portland.
This is how long is that?
We rode, 106?
Okay. Yeah. And starting at what time?
Midnight.
Midnight. Okay. Almost exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is
and returning at what time?
Much later than anticipated.
There's a lot of different times that we call the end time, like the time we quit riding versus the time we got home or different times.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. So. A long time. I think we officially stopped pedaling around, noon?
It was a little after 10.
Okay, so what, solid 10 hours of riding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Did you have caffeine before this? What was your what was your preparation?
I did. Whiskey and beer before that.
Okay. Oh, I had that too, though, yeah.
Yeah. That's working to your detriment there.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know, there are a lot of things we would do different in hindsight. I would start by just swearing at Adam and going to sleep.
Right over.
Yeah, I believe the most common phrase that night was "fuck you, Adam."
And this is like any time that you're, is it like wayfinding times or like steep hills or dark sections?
No, it varied a lot.
Okay.
There are a lot of reasons to tell Adam to fuck off. Part of it was he had a almost jolly demeanor while we were doing this.
Okay, so like the worse things get, the happier you are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So then, like, to everyone else, they're like, oh, this guy's a sadist.
Well, we know him. Right. And frankly, I was just upset with myself because I've gone on rides that Adam thinks are going to be fun before. And and I didn't have the foresight to ask him what the route was going to look like.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody until, even leading up to it, we just went.
So it's like a midnight mystery ride, but with more pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We knew it was going to be over 100 miles. That's it.
Yeah. That's all you
That's
know.
That's about it.
Okay. Did you know it was going to be gravel?
I thought there was going to be like maybe 15 miles of gravel.
Maybe a driveway or two.
Yeah. A couple long driveways worth of gravel.
Yeah.
But there was more.
Okay.
Than that.
Yeah.
A fair amount more.
There we go. So Adam, how did you con people into this? What was the promise? What was the grand, was it glory?
Luckily my friends blindly dressed me.
Okay.
I asked them if they wanted to go on a fun.
Do they still?
Well, that's questionable.
Sadly, yes.
I asked them if they wanted to go on a fun night ride with me.
Yeah.
They said yes.
All right. That's all you need.
That's all I needed.
There we go.
I have really easy friends.
Does your reputation, does it precede you with this sort of thing? Like, were you known for pain before?
Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very good. And so we talked about beer and whiskey and maybe caffeine, depending on who you were. Kevin, yep. Caffeine. Adam, no. How did you prepare for this trip?
Drank a lot of water beforehand and ate so much food. So I went to Whole Foods. I have a build your own burrito bar there.
Ooh.
And yeah, I had a burrito that I weighed it when I got back to work, and it was about 2 pounds.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about that? There was some fast food restaurant that was doing one of those like eat it all and win something challenges, but it was like it wasn't this enormous like 30-pound burrito.
Oh,
no!
You had to eat 30 pounds of burrito. Yeah, it's not for me.
What could possibly be worth that?
I think it was stock in the company.
I mean,
really?
Yeah, there's a story I heard from Fun Employment Radio. They were doing their news roundup of crazy stories, and yeah. But it was one of those things where, like, you know, basically you had to eat the whole thing in a certain amount of prescribed time, and you couldn't have any bodily fluid discharge of any kind. Like, you had to contain 30 pounds of burrito, which is not my thing.
I don't feel like that's possible. You made
a 2-pound burrito,
and
this was plenty big.
I wanted to die afterwards.
Yeah. It's too much.
It was so bad.
What does Adam put into a 2-pound burrito?
Oh, man. Honestly, everything that was available.
It was like the graveyard of burritos.
And then a little extra.
Okay.
Like, I went back and had them do double up on everything.
Is this omnivorous vegetarian?
a lot of meat.
Okay, there we go. So
I have some steak and beef in there.
Steak and beef.
Yeah.
Okay. Steak and other kinds of beef.
Right? Yeah. Nice. Well, it's like shredded beef and steak.
That's fantastic.
I had carnitas, but
Adam really loves his beef steaks.
Yeah, no kidding. So I hate that I'm going here already, but when you eat that much burrito, was there a pit stop required mid-ride?
No.
Good.
I'm a decent preparer.
Excellent.
I made sure that was out of the way.
Vacated plenty of space. Okay. This is all reserved for burrito.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And the other participants. So, Kevin, did you prepare in this way? Did you eat a lot as well?
Yeah. I think I just went with steak. And then for my second dinner, I think I had steak.
Okay.
Just,
nice.
No sides or anything else that's not like useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin actually sent me a picture of what he ate. And, looked delicious.
Like, yeah.
Tons of steak, potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like it sat heavy in the gut.
You know, there's that other restaurant in town called Sailors over by Mall 205. It has a 72-ounce sirloin. And,
come again?
Sailors. 72-ounce sirloin. And it's free if you can eat it within a certain amount of time. So
what's that time? Like, do you know offhand what?
I don't. I think it's sufficient. I feel like I could do it. But I think that's also you have to eat, like, the sides and the trimmings and all, so. I don't know about the trimmings, okay. Like not the fat, probably, but you know, yeah.
Okay, that's
yeah.
You want to go on a ride and then go eat a steak?
That can be our next adventure.
Okay,
perfect.
Next week?
No.
Okay, so Kevin, for you, what was the when did you know you were in trouble on this overnight ride?
I don't know. About 40 miles in, I realized that we were doing mostly gravel and. The other three guys on the ride were good at off-road. That's what they love to do.
Okay.
And I'm not. This is really the first year that I've done any of it because I started riding with these assholes.
Okay. Did you have a bike that was suited to gravel, or were you kind of limping through
this? To a point. It's got gravel tires on it, but they could have been bigger. Could have been a little bit more comfortably set up.
Okay.
I was in a little bit of a racy position, so my back was hurting and
too much bend, too much arch.
Yeah, a little bit too much bend for what I was doing.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's what happens when that's the bike you bring and then you just realize that you're miles away from home and you don't have another bike, so you just keep on pedaling.
Right, right. So did I already ask how you chose the route?
Yeah.
Seemingly at random.
Well, actually, yes. A couple of days beforehand, I got onto Google Maps, and I was like, oh, this connects here. That looks cool. I'm going there.
Were any of these roads named, like, Mainline Road or whatever?
No.
Okay. Because I've seen those lines on the map, and I've been curious about them.
Yeah, no. So most of what we rode, I have never even seen before.
Okay.
It was a total shit show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. So did you have a sense that, the peasants were revolting or something?
No. Like, I mean, as much as they say they hate me, they really love me.
Okay. There we go.
And as much as we say that he had a good time, he was having just as bad a time as we were.
Yeah. No, I was near the end. I was hurting really bad.
But you're thinking to yourself, hey, this is going to be possible. Like, it's we're going to make it through
this. Oh, yeah.
This.
I mean, I'm going to finish it.
Didn't finish it.
Well, dude, No. At first, I was like, hey, you want to do Midnight Gravel Century, being 100 miles. We rode 100 miles.
We rode 100 miles.
Exactly.
We did not ride the full route that was
The full route was going to be 125 or 130.
Okay, that's a lot.
With an extra 1 or 2,000 feet of climbing.
Was there enough dark for all of this?
No, we were riding well into the morning sun.
Yeah, we got to a point where our lights were just off. We were comfortable riding without any extra help.
Okay.
I remember, so I was anticipating finishing between, 8 and 9 in the morning.
That's, yeah.
I mean, you can do knock out a century in 6-7 hours, so I figured 8 or 9 would be fine. By, 6:30 in the morning, we weren't even halfway.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, so we get to Vernonia, which is the halfway mark, and... Yeah.
Cute little town.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I don't remember it that way. It was a horrible town, and nothing was okay about it.
Well, the only place that was open by the time we got there was this little coffee shop.
Oh,
so
sure.
So we basically all passed out in their patio.
Nice.
And
the Black Bear on the main drag there?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't the Black Bear.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it was. But no, yeah, we got some coffee, got some pastries.
Okay.
That literally saved my life.
Nice. It's good to have a sort of a refuel stop at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you and I, when we first talked about having you in to talk about your ride, I did my overnight ride, and I ended up in, like, Centralia, Chehalis at a truck stop where there was a Carl's Jr. and, like, five chicken sandwiches or something. It's just, like,
so good
at some point, you're just like, I need to refuel. I cannot go
anywhere. When you're to that point, the worst food sounds the best.
It does.
It feels the best.
Yeah, I think the worst food is the best at that point. Like, it's, just shitty empty calories? Yeah, give me all of them, please.
And all the vitamin D as well.
Oh, yeah. Just, just gobbling those vitamin Ds.
Do they make Flintstones and vitamin D?
That would be so much fun.
That'd be great. The chewable, like, yeah.
I think part of each Flintstones is that vitamin D, like maybe the ear or maybe like an eye of the individual characters.
Because they're multivitamins.
It depends. Yeah. Like, if you get Dino, I think he's got a little bit more than,
naturally.
Like, say, like Barney. You know?
Okay.
Barney is more
vitamin
D.
I was making generalizations.
Yeah.
How dare you? This is Portland. Don't do that.
Yeah. Let's see. I was trying to think of, there was a train of thought that I had. It's probably gone. Lights. What kind of lighting did you guys use for this?
So I was the only one that had a dyno set up on my
bike.
So I had a dyno light and a USB charging port that I plugged into the hub. So I was able to charge. I could have charged people's phones or their USB lights as we rode.
Did you have your directions on your phone? Or how did you navigate?
Well, yeah, I downloaded a PDF of the map, so I just kind of left it from there.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so it didn't tell us, like, turn left here or right there. It was just we get to an intersection that we think might be about the time we need to make a turn, and we reference the phones and, like, looks like it's this way.
Yeah. Well, that sounds – so you had it done. Everybody else was just, like, batteries, battery blankies?
Adam, he works at a bike shop, a little bike shop. And
one you might have heard of.
Yeah, it's they sell bikes and other items.
Right. You might call it a cult.
It's kind of a cult, of
of bicycles.
Velo people.
Yeah.
But he got us all really badass little lights that are tiny but really bright.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So that gives you sufficient illumination.
I used one most of the time, but when it was really dark and a lot of gravel that I was going down faster than I wanted to, now I'd put both on so I could see when the ground was coming, when I was about to fall or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of gravel at night. So what was the visibility like?
Maybe 15, 20 feet ahead. Maybe.
Okay. Does this mean that you were traveling at a slow and prudent speed?
We're actually hauling ass for most of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with their pace.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to wait for me.
Well, I mean, okay, so I retract that statement. We were hauling ass for a lot of the beginning.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. After, just flying in the
really,
beginning.
Yeah, really fast. Then, I don't know, maybe like 20, 30 miles into the gravel, we started to become demoralized just lost the will to pedal fast.
It wasn't the climbing and it wasn't the gravel. It was the gravel with the climbing.
Okay.
That was really off-putting.
I don't mind the burning or the itching. But the burning and the itching.
Together.
Oh, you have a similar problem then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably also caused by Adam.
So what,
I told you that they blindly trust me.
That's right.
Idiots.
What would you recommend? Anybody that hears this and says, this sounds like a great idea, what would you tell them to do or take along that you might not have done?
Whiskey. We didn't bring whiskey.
Okay.
We all talked about bringing it, but we didn't bring it.
Ah. And all the liquor stores are closed, like at 8.
Well, okay, so whiskey, but Kevin brought a fabulous little gin with him, actually.
What should I bring? I forget.
You made some badass gin drink.
He pulls out
a mason jar, and I'm like, oh, cool, a little mixed drink. It's straight gin.
Not straight. It was a martini with a little vermouth and a little bit of lime juice.
Very small amounts.
It was mostly gin, yeah.
Okay.
That was good.
We tossed that around a couple times.
Yeah. Also beef jerky.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I never remember to bring that on rides, long rides, but honestly, it's one of the things I crave the most when I'm out there.
Yeah.
Just stop for a few minutes and chow down.
So. Yeah. So whatever it is that you like to eat, like have some of that.
Yeah.
In abundance.
Okay. Have a lot of that.
Yeah.
Did you guys carry panniers, bags?
I had a backpack that I crammed every bike tool that I had in.
Okay.
Not every, but like most of them.
Yeah.
Well, chainbreaker?
No.
I had a chainbreaker.
Yeah. Okay.
That's always a concern, though, that when we're out there, if something happens, I'm going to either have to, A, wait until someone comes. Because a lot of it, we didn't have cell reception.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to wait until morning or just try to fix it out there. So yeah, we went pretty prepared as far as tools go.
Nice, nice. What was the one tool you did not bring?
A pedal spinner.
Okay. Did you need one?
No.
Okay, good.
That's a hard call to make. Yeah. Those things are pretty heavy.
Yeah, and you know, to date, I've never needed one while I was out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just at train stations, right? Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Also known as a pedal wrench. Is a spanner a cool guy's term for a pedal wrench? Or
pedal, it's all the same.
Okay,
all
right.
Are they actually spanner? Pedal wrench is actually the more appropriate term.
Okay.
For it.
Oh, spanner's okay. Like well, the British term, right?
I had the. A large Allen wrench that would have gone, it worked in anyone's pedals.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so yeah. Long as they had the Allen hole in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually did pretty good at preparing as far as that on that front, making sure that we had the tools we needed if something were to happen.
Nice.
And, I brought so many tubes. It was, I think I probably had, four tubes for my size tires and like three for everyone else,
and nobody got a flat.
I was going to ask. Yeah, so Kevin, you didn't get one. Adam, nobody else got
it's
one.
It's because I brought so many tubes.
There we go.
If we didn't, all of our tires would have been shot immediately.
Yep. Remembering that next time I go out on any ride, I'm going to just bring like five times as many tubes as I need. No flats,
and then you don't have to bring any other tools.
Yeah, it's like rain gear. Like if you put rain gear on, it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say, once we got to Scappoose, we had a kind of makeshift gourmet dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, what? It was like the lamb?
Yeah, Max brought lamb, like a dried lamb soup thing. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
It's like one of the epic compressed lamb bars.
Okay. Yeah. Then, I have not heard of this.
And then imagine cramming together a whole lot of meat and spices.
Then
that's it.
Okay. I'm imagining
it's like
it now.
Sausage that might have been a little bit more cooked, and it's in a bar form instead of a tube form.
Okay. Yeah,
it's interesting.
Was that supposed to expand later then? Like you take it out and like boil it or whatever, and it turns into like a whole roast?
I ate it, and I don't feel like it expanded, but
it was just good.
I didn't really, yeah.
Yeah, so Max brings those. He's out of nowhere, pulls that out. This is our lunch stop, if you will. So he pulls a few of those out, and then some freshly cooked potatoes that his lady brought cooked for him.
Nice.
Yeah, fed all of us.
That's great.
It was a pleasant surprise. I didn't know he was going to do that.
Yeah. Well, you never expect someone to bring like the full four-course meal. Or was it two-course meal? Or?
I think it was two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, two.
But filling and substantial.
Actually.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, potatoes I've heard are a great travel food because they have like this time-released carbohydrate thing.
What?
Like the starch is so complex or something. I'm talking out my ass now because I don't know the terminology. But if you eat potatoes, they last longer than other foods you might eat.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
I knew a guy
protein lasts longer than potatoes, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There was a guy who I talked to, used to work with him. He was big into long rides. He swore by sweet potatoes because
really?
It was a carb.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
It also had like some proteins.
Oh, sure.
Still.
Okay. Sounds pretty good.
I'm filing that away.
Or yams.
Sounds great.
Yams, not sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Two different things.
Okay.
Yeah. I think only yams and sweet potatoes know how they're different, though.
They know the difference. We don't.
This is true.
Yeah. So any other – how did this end?
I'll let you
we
do
were,
this
so what we get in – was a we're hopping the train to Max
Hillsboro.
Okay, so Hillsboro, we're at this point where we're like, okay, we can either pedal all the way back to Portland and add what 25-30 miles onto it, or we can catch the Max and take the train back into Portland.
Light rail, yeah.
Yeah. At this time, we're like, fuck it. I don't want to pedal. I hate bikes.
Yeah,
fucking hate bikes.
Worst day ever.
I looked at my odometer. We had turned over 100. I gave the signal like, guys, we did it.
All right,
Adam, you don't ever have to make us do this again.
And around that time, we actually, oddly enough, passed, was a church. It was like the Century Church or something.
Something like
Are
that.
You serious?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the oddest thing, but really cool.
It was like almost like within a mile of hitting a century.
Yeah. Okay.
So, we take the Max back in from Hillsboro.
Nice.
So we're on the train. It's, you know, early morning, early-ish morning. People are going into town.
Uh-huh.
So the train gets fuller as you get closer to town.
Sure.
First stop.
With all your bikes.
Oh, yeah. And we're full spandex, too. Like, sweaty, nasty-ass guys. Four dudes, like, in spandex bikes hanging out.
Falling asleep on the train hobos.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I got a lot of looks.
Yeah. But the nice part is I have since taken the Max, and I got on when it was already full, and there's nowhere for you to put your bike. But if you get on At the very beginning of the train, because nobody lives out there because you're too far away from Portland.
Oh,
you should not be out there with your bike. Then you get to hang your bike up and sit down and close your eyes.
Yeah,
totally.
So,
yeah.
We got a prime selection.
Nice. Yeah.
I wonder what like the regular commuters who bring their bikes must be thinking at that point.
We actually encountered a lot of them on this ride.
Like, I usually put my bike right up there.
I think we got some dirty looks.
Okay.
I wonder.
It wasn't normal commuters, though, because it was Saturday night to Sunday morning.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't so bad.
So Adam and Max ended up at one end of the train with their bikes, and Craig and I were at one end as well with ours. And I don't know about you, but we had just several families that were weird. It turns out Comic-Con was that day.
Oh. So you
Rose City Comic-Con at the convention center up here.
Yeah. And the
I don't go or anything. I just
you know some folks.
I heard about it.
No judgment.
The train that we happened to take went right by there. So there were some really talkative people with young kids that really wanted us to interact with them, and I don't know about you.
So no, I didn't.
Craig and I were just not having it. We were just quietly staring at this family, like, your kids are awful.
Were they in costume?
Oh yeah, they're in costume, and the dad was like really loudly like telling his kids like, don't touch these bikes. I don't know whose bikes these are, but it might be these guys, like trying to interact with us.
Not like directly, just like trying to kinda,
like trying to invite us to
just see
like a sheepdog running around trying to like herd you into conversation.
And we were just staring at this sheepdog and I'm like, I'm not gonna swear at you in front of your kids.
Yet. But you should know.
Like you keep doing this and we'll see how it goes. They eventually got off and we kept on going.
There you go. Nice. Oh, well, congratulations. This is fantastic. You guys said there's a guy who couldn't be here tonight. Should we phone him in real quick?
Yeah.
All right. I think so.
And who are we calling again?
Craig.
Okay. Craig is going to be on the other end here in just a moment.
Yeah.
God, he better answer.
He said ready whenever.
Hello? Hey, Craig. How's it going?
Well, how are you?
I'm good. This is Brock from the Sprocket Podcast. We're here with your friends, Adam and Kevin.
Oh, they're not my friends.
Okay. So we just talked about that overnight ride that you guys did, all the madness, and what are some gaps you should fill in?
I don't know, actually. How much did they give away?
Well, Kevin, what should we have him talk about? Let's give him something.
So far, they said that you had the best time of them all, of all of them.
Oh, he knows that.
You were the happiest during the whole ride.
Well, I mean, Craig's a pretty happy guy. I think he might top.
He probably was the happiest.
I think he's typically more gleeful than I am.
I try to claim that title on every ride that I go on.
Not every ride.
No, we don't talk about that ride.
What type of preparation did you do, I guess? We talked about what we ate.
Did you poop beforehand?
Yeah, these are important questions. How much caffeine? Come on.
Did I poop beforehand?
Yes.
Yes, I did, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Velvet before we took off.
Have you pooped since then?
He even named the place where he went.
I know, man. Dropping names.
Good publicity. It's like it's a great place to take a poop.
Oh, it really is.
Actually,
it's fantastic. I mean, two bathrooms and a changing table to put your jersey on. I mean, I use the hooks.
That's right, yes. Sometimes there's a baby inside that jersey. Sometimes there's not. Craig, what was the most challenging part of this ride for you?
I think the most challenging part was just the off-road terrain in pitch black. I mean, I wasn't familiar with a lot of it. So when we were descending, maybe Adam can help me fill in the names of the places, but we were descending in the Dixie Mountain area, which is just a lot of loose gravel and a lot of like forks in the road that I really had no idea where which turn was the correct one.
Yeah,
just like trying to maintain speed, but also not hit a hairpin corner, with like no lights on. So I think it was just the complete unfamiliarity of it, and even in the places that I had ridden before. It's so much different in darkness. you miss landmarks and your speed isn't you can't quite gauge it. I don't know. It was a completely new experience of kind of everything.
Yeah. I remember one of the descents, I think it was the final descent from Dixie Mountain, kind of right outside Scappoose. I get to the bottom and my hands are numb just from the washboard, the gravel, like all the bumps. God, it sucks so bad. And it was freezing cold at that point also. Like the ride was not unbearably cold, but this one section was just so cold. Didn't have my gloves on. I get to the bottom, but the combination of my hands being jarred to death and then the slightly frigid temperatures was unpleasant.
Yeah. Greg, did you bring an extra layer?
I didn't bring anything except for what I was wearing.
Okay, so
not at all.
This is kind of a summer night, right?
No.
Yeah, it was. We were actually experiencing like incredibly high temperatures at night. Like the week beforehand, I was like sweating in bed. I felt like it was like 70 degrees in the middle of the night. I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll be fine. Just my kit.
And then this one night was actually
right
quite
about
chilly.
That time that Adam was talking about on Dixie Mountain. I had to steal Chevin's extra jacket and I think your extra gloves too,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, you totally outfitted me on that one.
Oh, nice. Well, what a guy. That's fantastic. So
Kevin has the tradition of over preparing to like everybody's benefit. It's amazing. Like I usually go way under prepared and Kevin usually picks up my slack.
So I think what Greg's getting at is we use Kevin.
There we go.
That was my motivation for inviting him on this ride.
If you can't prepare, have friends who prepare.
If you're going on an overnight ride, bring a Kevin.
Yeah, if you can. If you can fit him in your pocket or in your duffel bag, you should just bring a Kevin. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Cool.
If he has an app, everyone should download it.
Oh, yes.
Greg, what did you have that you were most glad that you had, and what did you not have that you wish you did?
I think the thing that I had that I was most happy about on that ride was actually like that night I had just gotten a new front light. You know, Adam's probably gonna help me out with the brand name of it, but it's like a USB rechargeable light and to some obscene amount of lumens that actually like actually illuminated the gravel roads. I usually ride with a pathetic little halogen light that it basically just shows me where the road ends and kind of keeps me from getting hit by cars, but that was a game changer. I'd never ridden with like a real front light, and that helped a lot. What I didn't bring that I wish I would have brought was just layers, I guess. Like, luckily, I had a Kevin, so I didn't need to. But
should have brought another Kevin.
Two Kevins would have been perfect. You could have brought like
that would have been overkill.
For every Kevin, I think you can bring two unprepared riders.
Okay. There we go. Well, Craig, any other advice you would give to someone who wants to do an overnight ride?
Company. Make sure it's people you like riding with a whole lot. I mean, the fact that we had four people on that particular ride, I think kind of saved that ride in general. It was four people seemed to be enough to like keep everybody's spirits high. You could always, you know, like... So you have one like buddy system times two, so you could have like three options of people to like ride with and talk with, and you know, at any given point it seemed like, you know, two people were tired and two people worn out. We just kind of rotated into those roles. So I think it's largely about the company you keep, and luckily I had three great guys that I was riding with, and hopefully they feel the same about me.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Greg. We really appreciate you putting your voice on this.
No, absolutely, man. Thanks for getting me in.
Yeah, have a great night.
You too. Ride with you guys soon.
Bye.
See ya.
Later.
Well, thank you both for coming in to share the experience, and look forward to doing this myself for one. I want to do gravel overnight now myself.
We can go next week. I have 2 days off.
And then I'm looking forward to hearing about the next adventures that you guys have.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
For sure.
You got time to hang out with us for news and mail?
Of course.
Excellent. Aaron, do you have time to do some news?
Yeah, I think I got time.
If you want.
Are you literally just opening the news app on your phone and reading that?
No.
I'm curious more than anything.
No.
Whoops, sorry.
I won't go into how the sausage is made on the air, but we can talk later.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as you can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast.
I like how you can still see on the Google Docs who's editing.
That's right.
In real time.
Right now.
Maybe. But it, since it's logged in as me, it thinks I'm editing it.
Oh, yeah. It's the ghost of you.
Yes. First up from the New York Times. When gas becomes cheaper, Americans buy more expensive gas.
Really?
Yes. When gas prices fall, Americans reliably do two things that don't make much sense. They spend more of the windfall on gasoline than they would if the money came from somewhere else.
Hmm.
And they don't just buy more gasoline. They switch from regular gas to high octane.
Interesting.
There's a pretty good explanation for this kind of pattern. Researchers have found that people treat money as earmarked for particular kinds of spending, a tendency behavioral economists call mental accounting. If someone is buying rounds at the neighborhood bar, people tend to treat the money they didn't spend as, quote, beer money.
Ah.
And sooner or later, they tend to spend it disproportionately on beer.
I've done that.
As a result, they end up drinking more beer than they had originally intended.
So it's like, I've got 20 bucks
exactly
in my pocket.
Exactly what I was going to ask after I was done reading.
And then I'm like, well, somebody already bought me a round, so that means that I can have, like, you know,
$25 worth of beer, yeah.
Yes, I was going to say 30, but yes.
Depends on math.
Depends on the round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I was thinking, like, honestly, if I did get like some sort of tax refund or something, I'd probably do what I just did this last weekend and like rent a car and go some other place I couldn't usually afford to go to.
And you fill it up with high octane gas.
And I would, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just be a baller.
That's the thing I don't understand.
I'd rent like a Humvee.
It's been like stated over and over again that higher octane is not going to make a difference in an engine that isn't made for high octane
gas. But tell that to the person that gets a latte with four shots of espresso in it.
Okay.
Valid point.
Tell that to the person that gets a white mocha with five times the amount of white chocolate in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell that to the person that mods out their vape pack.
Is that,
or whatever.
Is that a thing?
Apparently, if people are into vaping, then, like, you know, there are guys that go out and they're like, I've got this, like, you know, it's like overclocking your computer except with, like, inhalants.
Tobacco.
Yeah.
What the shit?
But not tobaccos. Yeah. No, it's just like, you know, electronic smoking, I guess.
That's interesting.
Cool.
I've tried it.
Like,
don't
do you
care
get,
for it.
Do you get like more of the nicotine then?
I think you get a bigger cloud. So if you want to be the guy at the bus stop,
so
it's
if
like
you want to be the guy showing off. The
exactly.
Right.
Look at how much e-cig liquid I've got.
Look at me.
Right.
I imagined it was like putting lights on it.
Right.
Maybe bedazzling your vape.
Exactly. Like ground effects.
Yeah.
Just like neon lights that you can see only from underneath.
I love how e-cigs haven't been around that long, but they've already kind of become this, I don't know, this moniker.
Have I shared with you? Mouth fedoras.
Yeah.
Is what somebody called them.
Yeah. I've heard that before. Yeah. They're like the fedora of the cigarette world.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, no smoke October, almost over. No smokes.
Really?
Yeah.
Good
and I'm thinking
job.
About quitting at the end, too.
Really?
Yeah.
For reals?
Well, cigarettes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, get myself a vape kit. This is interesting. I didn't know you smoked.
Oh, yeah. No, I was a fan of cigarettes. It was, culturally, they're so much fun, I think. It's just like there's this whole culture thing. But then they suck. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My compromise, I think, is going to be like an old school, like, professor's pipe or something.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if your brain has already put aside cigarette money, what are you going to spend that cigarette money on?
Yeah. Vanilla tobacco, yeah, or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
High-octane pipes.
Something that makes me smell like Gandalf.
Yeah. Are you going to bedazzle your pipe?
Yes, with ground effects.
Yeah, so totally. Cool. So cool.
What else we got in the news?
All right. Just one more. From The Guardian... Oslo moves to ban cars from city center within 4 years.
Really?
Proposed ban on private vehicles is part of a plan to slash greenhouse gas emissions by 50% by 2020 compared to 1990 levels. Oslo's new leftist city government said Monday it wants to ban private cars from the city center by 2019 as part of a plan to slash greenhouse gas emissions. The Labour Party and its allies, the Socialist Left and the Green Party, winners of the September municipal elections in the Norwegian capital, presented a platform focused on the environment and the fight against climate change.
I have been wondering for so long, like, why wouldn't Portland do something like this? Like, what if all the bicyclists, so not saying that all the bicyclists in Portland get along, but what if everyone who didn't want to own a car just,
but can't
like,
we?
Moved into the same block and then shut that street down? But, you know,
we all decided just to rent, like, apartments and houses out of this one area in downtown.
Right. Like, we all take over Orenco Station, perhaps, or
there
something.
There you go.
Who knows? But, no. Yeah, I love this idea that, you know, there is a place where this is for people walking. You know, and a lot of more major American cities, like Boston, for example, has, like, a shopping district. It's not, like, a thriving urban, like, actual, it's mostly the tourism district, but there is a place in Boston where people just walk around and buy stuff, fish, I guess, at the fish market or whatever. same with Seattle, you know, Pike Place Market. There's like a one street where people just walk and buy.
Oh, yeah.
What if there's a place where people walked and bought and lived? Yeah.
Maybe like a 10 block radius?
Yeah, totally. No, let's start here. Let's start on Division Street and Clinton Street.
Let's just start wherever I'm at right now. That sounds the most convenient to me.
Yeah, if there was like a moving like blockade or barricade system that would just move with
if
you.
We all just move together.
Yeah. So you have like a like eight flaggers that just kind of move up the block with you.
I feel like that would be price effective, though.
Well, no, but it'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it definitely would be.
This is great. Yeah. Well, good for Oslo.
Yeah,
is it Oslo or is it Oslo? Or how do you say that?
I've been pronouncing it Oslo since
I believe you.
Middle school.
I've never been there, so I don't know.
I don't know either.
How did you pronounce it before that?
That's a good question.
Emphasis on a different syllable.
Yeah. Oslo.
That's fantastic, though. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, so we had our headlines, and now we have...
Now what do we have? Or what do we got?
We got mail.
All right, first up, comments from episode 263. I also have to comment on, like, both Adam and Kevin are just kind of, like, looking
what
at, what is
that?
That?
That was the worst soundbite I've ever heard in my life.
Yes, it is.
That's our own Aaron Flores.
I'm sorry. Worse. I'm still sticking by what I said.
That makes it so fabulous.
Yeah. I'm not always proud of what I do.
I am.
First up, comments from episode 263. First up, Sebastian Poole says, thinking about leadership, I've always rejected the mantle of leadership, but don't mind being an instigator. Also, suggestion for next week's credit voice, Mexican radio.
No?
No.
Okay.
Not doing Mexican radio.
I don't know how. Well, unless it's that song, right? Like, I'm on the Mexican radio.
Are we just going to, like, sing that melody
exactly,
over reading the credits?
I could do that.
I don't think so.
I think that would go really well with what we just heard.
Ethan Georgie says, glad to hear I'm not the only person who talks to himself while riding alone in the middle of nowhere. Because that's what we do. Either of you? Are you self-talkers?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I talk to other people when I'm riding alone in the middle of nowhere.
Nice. Yeah. Other people that aren't there.
I mean, yeah, sounds much better.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm riding up a hill and I imagine just Adam just charging ahead of me because he's a dick. And I swear it, imaginary Adam. But I also use that as like a, all right, I'm going to show imaginary Adam.
Take that, imaginary Adam.
Dude, that's right.
You show the imaginary me.
Oh, imaginary you has been put in his place so much.
I feel whooped.
Imaginary whooped, yeah.
Nice.
Lastly, Johnny K finally chimes in after a couple weeks of silence. Holy crap, I've been so busy the past couple weeks. I'm just now getting caught up with my podcast listening. What can I say? Life. I can speak for all the fans as I say, we love when Adele is on the show. She's a badass.
She is.
She should carry pepper spray, a gun, or some other deterrent for the creeps out there. If not for the creeps, at least for the wildlife. Also, we have a cyclocross scene here in Florida, even in this bike desert. And speaking of bike deserts, I've thought about biking all the bike deserts in the U.S., but I'm afraid I would barely make it out of Florida.
Nice.
So I mean, are there alligators in that cross race?
That would be great. That's jump these alligators.
Yeah. Instead of having obstacles to jump, you just jump gators.
When you ask that question, I imagine an alligator riding a bike.
I mean, it's,
his legs didn't work well.
That's fantastic.
We have one comment from episode 262.
Yes.
Sebastian Poole sends us a video and says, all that talk about burn barrels in that episode sent me looking for this. And it's the burn barrel scene from Repo Man.
That's right, yeah.
We and, just watched that together.
Time travel,
today.
Yeah, exactly. Everything from the past going to the future and et cetera.
Yeah, we weren't sure.
Isn't
exactly.
Emilio Estevez in that?
Yes.
Okay.
A very young
like,
Emilio Estevez.
Driving a race car, right?
I think so.
I think so, too. Yeah. That's all I know about the movie.
I watched it
Mick
when
Jagger.
I was way too young to be watching that.
I've never seen it.
But burn barrels, that makes you, they make you wax poetic.
Yes.
So, yeah. Chris in Colorado sends us an article about another electric bike conversion. It's from narrativetech.com. And he says this might be old news. It's only old news because it came up before we read it. I don't know what that means. No, just I had not yet seen this, but it looks interesting. It's similar to EcoSpeed, but different. It's another option for people that are interested in modding out their existing bike without having to buy a whole new, brand new electric bike. And then Jeremy from Critical Transit sets the record straight on Mackinac Island. He did, in fact, go
Mackinac.
There.
Mackinac.
Excuse me. Wait, it's Mac. Oh, it's because it's French, right?
Yes.
Okay. See, that's I'm from the West Coast. I am a dumb American.
That's all right.
But, I think those are more in the South, but you know.
Okay. Well,
in the East Coast.
I mean, okay. I'm sorry. Being from the South, I can say that.
America. They're from America.
there are many dumb Americans from all places. So this island is in fact car free, and he has been
correct.
There. And there are a lot of interesting facts on the Wikipedia site.
Yes.
So
he even relates to us the only motor vehicle collision. On Mackinac Island was between a fire truck and an ambulance, both responding to the same emergency.
Yes. So, so there's that. Speaking of Jeremy, he's just back. I have not listened to it yet, but my podcast feed has a new Critical Transit episode.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
been like 2 years or
something.
Yeah,
he How just
long?
Mentioned in that particular mail, I think, that he was putting a new one out.
Yeah. So let's share his voice here. He actually sent us a comment that he recorded about bikes on bus racks, which kind of ties into bikes on the max.
In regard to the bicycle being stolen off of the front of the bus, I've never had this happen to me, but I did have my bike on the bike rack when the bus rear-ended a car in front of it, and I was really worried. Then I got out and I realized, and you saw the imprint of the bike rack on the rear bumper of the car, and I realized that those things are made of some pretty solid steel, and really got not much to worry about there. But another time I went to pick up the bike, I went to take off the, to open the bike rack so that I could get my bike on it, and then I lifted the little handle and off came the rack. All 50 pounds of it in my hand.
Wow.
in the middle of winter, so I had to wait for the next bus. That sucked.
Is that kind of like if you stick your tongue to a metal pole, like it, the bike rack falls on you and then like it takes all your skin with it?
I guess so.
Or something. I don't know.
I think you can probably let go of. You can probably let go of the bike rack.
Right. Seriously.
Or at least should. I don't know if you did, or I don't know if he did, but he should have just dropped it.
Yeah,
that's interesting that the whole thing just came out. Though.
Seriously, but rear end collision. That's not, or well, I mean, what front end collision? Anyways, like your bike getting stuck between two colliding vehicles. I never thought about that. But they make the racks sturdily, so that's cool. I would be worried about that, though. I mean, is that the sort of thing that would be covered by insurance? Or
I would imagine that whatever, you know, transit agency is carrying your bike has to cover that.
Right. For both Adam and Kevin, what are your biggest worries about bikes on transit?
That.
Okay. And now it's that.
Yeah, seriously. No, I mean, so as you're talking about this, so I was just thinking, man, the process of starting an insurance claim, like getting it accepted and processed through the city, I mean, that would probably take forever.
Right.
Or yeah. I would think it would be really quick because they're like, we just want to get this out of the way, like get this guy not on the radar.
Have you ever dealt with the city in that regard?
No, but I've dealt with insurance. And I think that they have
really
a pretty good insurance policy.
Wow.
And, and I would think that they would want to get this small claim of I want my bike to be replaced over a lot sooner than you hit me with a bus.
So I work in a bike shop.
Yes.
You guys know this. And I've done a lot of insurance claims. And, personal and also ones that have involved the city. And they all take forever to get
through. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my fear. Like, it was just it's just a nuisance.
You would think it would not take as long because like almost no bike costs as much as a hammer or a toilet seat would.
Maybe I just deal with anomaly insurance quote estimates.
Yeah. But, I imagine though because bikes are involved or whatever, and you know most insurances, especially in vehicle or even homeowners insurance with theft, they're looking at other items. They're looking at cars and they're looking at your television or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're prepared for those things. And I think for a lot of those companies, the bike is still kind of the anomaly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I give them $20.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a lot of people still see the bike as a toy.
Yeah.
Not as a tool, not as a way of life that we use it as.
Yeah. 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 All right. Oh, and one more thing.
Oh, yeah. A tweet from Eric Iverson. Sprocket Podcast, episode 597. Loved your interview with Elon Musk regarding how he was wrong about the whole car thing. Hashtag future podcast.
That's right. So we're only on episode 264. So in a couple years.
I was like, I sat for like maybe 10 minutes trying to calculate when exactly 597 was.
That's fantastic.
I didn't get very far with it.
Yeah, it's all good.
Have you even started talking to Elon Musk's like
agency?
Yeah.
No, but I did do like...
Because I think you have a couple of years before you have to.
Right.
But you should definitely get on that soon.
We probably should, yeah.
I did do like some rudimentary like research and like news readings on Elon Musk and, you know, things I would ask him. For example, did you know he was very concerned about AI technology and... Yeah. Considers that a threat to the human race. Yeah.
I think you should probably start with, may I drive on your cars? Because they sound fun.
Wait, does he do the Tesla? Is that
Yeah, he's the Tesla. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I do like the fact that electric cars, like if you are going to own a car, I feel like electric is better than combustion engine because then you can put your combustion engine somewhere else. But yeah. Yeah.
Of course, they will catch on fire.
They will. Yeah. They will. But it'd be like nice.
That famous viral video clip.
Yes. Who killed the electric car? Elon Musk.
Well, the thing, maybe not.
That actually
but,
has been proven
like,
to be like a
all
hoax.
The other cars, they're made out of fire, and they have fire in their tanks.
No. That viral video actually, the car was set on fire. Nobody like caught that part on video. You know, what they catch is a Tesla car, this electric car on fire. And so that becomes the thing that everybody talks about.
After some ne'er-do-well with a lighter runs away from it.
Yeah, okay. something like that.
And an M80. I mean, it does sound like fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
On a closed course, it'd be a lot of fun.
I'd set a car on fire.
I'll set a car on fire on an open course.
We're speaking satirically, of course.
Yes.
I would never set a car on fire yet.
No one should infer anything from this.
At least not without legal sanctions.
Okay, so I'm talking to my caller. We should probably close the show, right?
Before I implicate myself on other crimes.
The last thing that we have to say is we're not criminals. Thank you guys for joining us.
That's right. Adam Stewart and Kevin?
O'Gara.
Yes. What was it?
O'Gara.
Oh, and now we know. O'Gara. Okay. Kevin O'Gara. A pleasure to have you both in. Thank
Likewise.
You so much. Did you enjoy the beers?
Oh, I did. They were fantastic. I drank two of them.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'm about to start my second. So we don't have a theme.
We don't have a theme.
Yeah. Do you guys want to give us a theme for our credits?
Purple.
Yeah. you know, that. Yeah, is how we felt. Yeah, that works.
Purple.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So.
Perps. Let's call it perps.
Reaching really hard here.
The only thing I can think of is the Prince song, Purple Rain.
I know.
Oh,
my God. Can I please be the outro?
Our theme is Purple Rain.
For copyright, we can't put the song in, but we can sing the credits in. Yes.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that, actually.
But we know
melody
that you can try.
The melody of Purple Rain. Well,
our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at The Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for our graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors
Logan Smith,
Janet Cage, Shadowfoot,
Katrina Mellum, God, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lane, Richard Brzezinski, Kim Mooney.
Oh, you broke it.
I know. Well, it didn't sound like anything anyway.
No, it didn't. We were just singing. Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly.
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller, and I really don't know the melody.
Todd,
yeah.
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Capati, John Blatt,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkins, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick R. Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Chris Skukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley, and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Zissen, and Richard G. Go to sleep, everybody.
Purple rain, purple
brush your
rain.
Teeth.
I think he's ready.
Hello, are you there? Oh, nope.
Nope.
Psych.
I hate that.
Right. Craig, you're up, man.
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, he's gone. So the question is,
that's Craig.
Was
there
that
we
intentional?
Go.
All right, we'll try one more time and see if we lost him by chance, or if he just doesn't want to answer those questions.
Like, you know, he does that sometimes. He does the slow fade out. What a jerk!
No, I can't hear.
I'm sorry. The person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later. Goodbye.
Wow. Ouch, dude. He's never done that to me.
I think...
What a dick.
He just gave us the finger over the phone, which is impressive.
He said, fuck you from California.
That was intense.
Okay, whatever. We don't need him.
Let's try it one more time, just on the off chance.
All right.
And we're back.
Okay, sorry, we lost you there for a minute.